Yo. Hey, you're here. We're off the beam path here on 101.9 CITR. That's CI. I'm your host, Isarian. Hey, listen, for the next hour, you come with me down my path. We do this from deep, from the most western part of the Lower Mainland here on UBC's campus. Hold on a second. Can you guys hear me? You're being quite loud over there. Anyways, we're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Coast Salish, Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish territories here live from deep in the woods. And listen, if you never listened to Off the Beam Path before, what we like to do is talk about what's going on here locally, here in the Lower Mainland, what's going on here in BC, what's going on in Canada, and then kind of like what's going on just kind of like in the wider universe. So, you know, sometimes we might touch on the stratosphere or the ionosphere, you know, maybe you can't hear, you know, but you quite right here. Hold on a second. Yeah, so appreciate that. So, what's been going on here in Vancouver? We like to, you know, here we like to talk about kind of, there's always consistent stories that are going on here that people need to make sure that they keep their eyes and ears on. So, you know, that's housing and, you know, homelessness, drugs, but also just kind of like, what are people doing and what are people not being able to do here? And it's always interesting for me when I see things being taken away, you know, taken away from people. And it kind of makes me sad because I feel like there's not enough activities for people when it sometimes, but this one holds a pretty special place in my heart. So the SFU football team has been disbanded and ended the program this year, which is sad. So I don't know if you're familiar, but maybe if you haven't, or maybe if you would have gone to the games, you've been able to support, you know, some young people in their dreams. But SFU is like one of the only football teams here that plays American rules, and they play in the NCAA, and it gives Canadians an opportunity to go and play, you know, against U.S. talent on a consistent basis and play U.S. rules. But running a football team is expensive, and so this is something that they felt like they could part with. So it is down. I feel like it'll probably come back, but it'll be down. And I know some people who used to play for that team. So, you know, I can only imagine what that would feel like. I guess it might feel like in the short term, feel like something. But in the long term, I can tell you that, you know, while I love my college football team, if it went away, it would just be sad. But you did it. And so, listen, if you played for SFU, I hope that you find a good home in your next place, or you can do the smart thing and, you know, maybe pick up an instrument. You know who should be picking up an instrument? I watched Apollo Creed, the third one, over the weekend, and my girl watched the first two on Saturday. And I don't know if you've ever seen the Creed movies, but one, I find them to just be very good linear storytelling, so predictable. You know, I mean, it's such the Rocky formula, but it's like, it just makes for a good movie. But also, I wonder if they can do, like, I don't know why it bothers me so much, but like every hit looks like it should have killed the fighter, you know, whether that was Apollo Creed or whoever is fighting. I feel like every time, every punch looked like a punch that would send me to the grave. And does it have to be like that? Because I find that it sets like a weird expectation for like how we actually think about boxing matches should go, especially when we like live in a, you know, we live, our culture, so we consume fight so regularly. I see people get knocked out. Like, we have this assumption that every punch could be a knockout, but shouldn't be because we watch movies like this. Anyways, just the thought that, you know, it's, I guess I watched John Wick as well, and it's same thing. It's like, that guy should be dead, but he's not. And so it's just interesting because every, my body just doesn't do those types of things. And looking at it now, it feels so unrealistic, but I can only imagine being a kid thinking, well, that's just what it's supposed to look like. Like, when do you surpass your body, mind, identity of yourself, you know? I still think I'm still trying to figure it out, but maybe you're there. And also, I know it's, Q1 is over with. So listen, you've made it through one quarter of the year. I feel like that's something to be proud of. One, because if you're listening to Off the Beaten Path, either you're up relaxing or you're up stressed, or maybe you're up working. And so any of those means that you got hope, you know? And listen, it was a tough first quarter. So I'm glad you made it. Listen, and I hope that you're not making yourself feel bad for not still following your New Year's resolutions, because mine fell off like about a month ago. But you know what? Listen, we have new opportunity to bring it back. Summer's around the corner, and it's also Ramadan, and it's almost Easter. Passover's coming up. So you got lots of opportunities to really dig in and be a little self-reflective. And if you don't believe in any of that, listen, you got something called the weekend. And that's what we worship over here. When we get back, we are going to listen. Got some new music for you. Got some new music. Got some old music. And when we come back, I got some funny stories, because honestly, this continued to be a bunch of shenanigans.
I see you.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. And, you know, it's interesting. I feel like there's so much new R&B music that kind of you can tell there's so much 80s, definitely so much Prince in their music. And I was like, we went to a Duran Bernard concert a few weeks ago. And, you know, definitely he's got some of those 80s, you know, those James Brown influences into the music. And it's one of those things that people say when you're young is that those things always come back. I feel like I've heard the music before, but also it's nice to have it come back because I never really got into Jacquees. I feel like he was the last R&B singer that I've heard, so I feel like I'm so far out of that loop. Anyways, what loop I'm not out of is the scam loop. So while not a scam, actually this is a scam, something that you should be conscious of. Listen, there is a, this is an old scam, but it's still coming up. The police in New Westminster are warning boys and men that there's a scam going around where people basically target people, and they start off and they say, we'd like to, they contact them like through social media, posing as a woman, and they get them to send them, you know, naked pictures. And then once they get them sent naked pictures, then they obviously turn it into blackmail. And since dudes are so dumb and so freely willing to not only send dick pics on the internet to strangers, but to also be then ashamed of sending said dick pic and, you know, being blackmailed because of it. And honestly, it sounds like a great scam. Like, this is like the type of scam. I mean, we talk about scams on here, but this is the type of scam that I could see myself really getting behind. You know, I feel like it's a little, I'll say it's a victimless crime because, you know, I have little sympathy for the criminally horny. Just the criminally horny, not horny people, live your life, you know, criminally horny. Now, and let me, the definition, my definition, just, and you can call in and you can say your definition, but it's people who you are like, I don't actually think that's a crime, but you should be on a list, you know. If you Google Nicole Jr. and then understand that entire story, whoever named their toy Nicole Jr., that guy should be on the list. And people like him, you know, harmless, it seems, but questionable. Anyways, so what happens is they scam you and they get your money. And they blackmail you, said they're going to send their pictures to your family or, you know, and they're taking advantage of the criminal hormonality of males. And so listen, if you're a young man and you get solicited online, you should just listen to the advice that my stepfather gave to me, which is you should have some questions around the things that make you go, And that's about that. One thing I also felt was sad, this is not a crime per se, but it should be, is that Lolita the orca is being released from captivity from the aquarium in Miami and released back to the Puget Sound. Now, could you imagine, one, I did not know, had no idea killer whales lived for 50 years. That's kind of crazy that you don't really think about the lifespan. Like, we think about fit, like we just, I say we, because I'm including you in my ignorance, is that I just assumed that fish, a whale, a dolphin, a shark, they lived about the same, which I feel like a fish lives about 1 year, you know, lives about 1 year. I'm like, obviously I know whales live more than 1 year, but you know, like maybe 30, maybe like a 15-year-old whale is old. Never thought that a whale would live to be 50, Lolita has lived in the, she was captured when she was 24 months and has lived in the aquarium since 1970. And she's being relocated because of declining health in 2022. And so she's being brought back to the Puget Sound where she's from. And could you imagine being brought back to your homeland, a place that you haven't been since? It, like, would you feel like, does the whale feel like it's getting deported, or the whale feels like it's getting out of Guantanamo? You know what I mean? Like, how old is a two-year-old whale? Like, how conscious is it? Like, I'm curious, like, will other whales remember the whale when she comes back? That's nuts. Like, oh my gosh, I remember when they took you. What happened to so-and-so? You know what I mean? Like, I was watching, obviously, TikTok yesterday where I learned lots of stuff. And it was talking about how there's frequencies and how plants make noise. Listen, you can go Google it. Plants make noise. And so there's like plants are emitting sounds at a frequency that we can't hear. And it's like, well, plants in distress emit more noise than plants, than healthy plants. And I have no doubt in my mind that plants can speak to each other just because, you know, I know about, you know, that trees can talk and emit transmit information and, you know, send nutrients and resources to each other. It's very interesting. So if trees can do that, why can't plants do that? And if plants can do that, and if there are animals that can hear these frequencies, that is actually crazy. And also, not one of those things that, it's like, you have to think, like, what are the implications of that? It's the kind of things we do here. You know, you got to think, like, and then also, how does that relate to this whale coming back? Does the whale just, like, immediately know the neighborhood, you know, like that? Like, 2 years, I feel like it's a long time. An elephant can, so, you know, maybe a whale can, too. But also, Lolita, it's great to have you back. I'm glad that you're back here, and, you know, if you can listen to the waves, maybe the whales are listening off the beam path. Just saying. Just saying. Before we get into some great news, we're going to get into some good news. And that good news is for all of you people who love Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey and The Last of Us, know that the next season will be filmed in Vancouver. And surprise, surprise, they chose Vancouver because of how cool it is and how advanced the film industry is. But it is interesting because, one, I love that show. And it'll be, I always love watching TV or movies where you can point out, you're like, oh, I know exactly where that's at. Like, I don't know. It actually does nothing for me, but it's one of those things that I like a lot. It's also probably one of those things that if I didn't like it so much, I would hate when other people do it. But since I'm a hater and I don't hate myself, I like it. When we come back, we're going to talk about one person's life who's just changed immensely and how you have to think some people are just lucky and we should appreciate that when we get back.
I don't need you at all. I don't know myself.
Here with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Listen, that's 604-822-2487 or 604-UBC-CITR. Listen, if you want to do your part, call into the show. Do you have a story? You know, do you have something interesting to tell us? You got something going on? You want to donate to the fund drive? Listen, you want to donate to CITR? You want to help continue to put in on getting that new tower? So like if you're driving out west or you're driving out east from UBC and you know when CITR starts to fade in and out, listen, that's your fault. It's your fault, especially if you never contributed to CITR. Listen, they do great programming here. We talk about this all the time. All of the good things that CITR does, all of the voices that it allows to builds kind of out of the studio. And also, if you listen to Crimes and Treasons from 8 to 10, you listen to some great new hip-hop music. Maybe you've listened to a song, you Shazammed it. Maybe you texted me, asked me, ooh, what's that song? You should pay money for that, you know? Don't make a donation. You know who I'm hitting up for a donation? So William Scott Gurney, I'll put his whole government name out because, you know, he put his own government name out. A Vancouver Island bookkeeper won $55 million in the lottery, playing the lottery. You know, it's very interesting. I happened to be at the lottery offices today for some work, and I saw him walking in. And then I heard people talking about, like, yeah, he took the ferry over. They asked, did they want to fly him over? He said, no, he wanted to take the ferry. He wanted to drive. He just wanted to just kind of, you know, kind of live in that, you know, that broke life for a little bit more, for a little bit longer. He picked up his $55 million and then told the people who work for him that their retirement is taken care of. And I'm like, damn, if that's like, just how could you ask for anything more? You know what I mean? Just like if you, you know, I'm going to be taken care of. You're like, all right, cool. I got you. Like, that feels like, you know, when companies like, we're a family, you know, I could only imagine that they're probably, their holiday parties are probably crazy, and they're probably going to get crazier. So But $55 million, like, damn. Sometimes I think, you know, when you play the lottery, you're just actually paying for the, you're actually just paying for that moment, you know, from whenever you bought the ticket to whenever the readout is, you're just paying for that moment, you know, trying to think about the hope of what you would do if it came to fruition. Because you can't actually think about, you know, if you win. So, like, you're paying for that. And to imagine to not only have that moment, but then to be able to go to the offices and pick up the $55 million, however you want it. You're like, I want $55 million in loonies. And they got to give it to you. What would you do? What would you do with $55 million? I know what I would do. I would donate some of it to CITR. So, William Gurney, if you're listening, you know, you like community radio, donate some money to CITR. CITR needs help. You know who else needs help? Some businesses downtown. Listen, I find this just like an interesting issue that I know that it's going to have to be solved. And I don't find a one. I read articles about it all the time in different cities, and I am so unimpressed just kind of with, like, the minds. Like, I feel like, you know, we talk about kind of having, like, the smartest minds of, you know, all time. Like, right now, we have this, quote, unquote, the smartest people that have ever lived, you know, live right now. You know, the most people, got the most literate population, the largest population, you know, maybe, you know, we're the furthest pushing mentally population, except we keep coming up with the same ideas over and over and over again. So, you know, now that working from home is a thing, like, you know, teleworking, people can do work from a computer, which means you can do work from anywhere as long as you have the internet. And I feel like eventually soon, like, that's going to not even be a thing. Like, having the internet is going to kind of be like, you know, running water everywhere. Like, everywhere has got the internet. You know, it's like, well, I mean, we kind of have that right now, but just kind of like how the expectation that water is available kind of wherever you sit at. So you're going to be able to work from anywhere. And so businesses are complaining, you know, particularly that now that the federal government is opening up, you know, applicants and also employees to be able to live anywhere in the province, which I think is good because the provincial government should be like, you know, comprehensive of all of the people of the province, not just isolated into Victoria and Vancouver. And so, but the businesses around these areas are complaining that, you know, if people don't come back to the offices, that they're are going to not be able to make any money or not be able to make ends meet or going to have to close. And I'm like, that makes a lot of sense. And it just goes to show that, like, are you, as a business person, like, are you entitled to business, you know? And if the things change, because I feel like things will invariably change, like, should people be expected to adjust, or should we be forcing people back into the office so that your cafe can stay alive? And, you know, I feel like there's arguments to be made because, one, it's interesting. You know, we know that when businesses, you know, if you just look downtown, like, businesses, when in the financial district is dead, like, it doesn't feel like a very vibrant or a lively part of the city. It doesn't add any, you know, having more areas like that is going to be bad for the liveliness of a city. But maybe if those, you know, if there's no tenants, the value of those buildings will come down. But, like, is it going to look like Detroit where the value goes down and nothing replaces it? Or is it going to go down and, you know, we can continue to try to find something new? However, I would say, like, you know, there's probably questions, but whenever you hear the answers, it's just like getting people back to work and you're like, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. So it'll be interesting, you know, as you see, like, more. I feel like that's next. Like, we have drawn so many short straws in just, you know, my few decade and a half of being a legal adult. Like, I feel like, you know, looking for a win. I feel like working from home is the win that we're not giving back. Like, I don't feel, Like, I feel like that's just not something that people are going to just let go. And I don't think they should. What people can't let go of is this TikTok app. I don't understand. So, you know, 2 weeks ago, we've had a, in the United States, we had hearing with the CEO of TikTok and the congressional members of, I think, the security committee, who were asking questions to the CEO of TikTok. And when you hear, like, we clearly are not being led by our best and brightest. Like, I find that to be very obvious, because for me, I don't know how it was for you, but think about the people who ran for government in your school. Those are those people who, like, who are in government now also ran for government in school. Like, they're not like those are the same types of people that, like, ran for government in college. Same types of people who are running for government, like, who are running the government now. And have you ever met, I mean, do you ever remember, like, those people who ran for government, student government, over, like, those meaningless positions? Like, those people who ran for student government, they weren't, like, the people with the best ideas. It's just the people who wanted to do it. And so that's who's, like, leading us. Anyways, and so they were asking questions to the CEO, and you're like, do these people know anything? And the answer is no. Anyways, but they, so this is kind of migrated up to Canada, where they kind of tell us that, you know, TikTok is stealing your information, and TikTok is stealing your information, and so you should delete it off your phone. And it's such, and UBC has also issued a warning to UBC students that they should remove TikTok from their phone. And I don't know what kind of information they would even pull off my phone that would make me, like, I'm not worried about that, you know? I don't know. I feel like we're at a point where we just have, like, this expectation, especially with all the data breaches from social media companies and companies like, you know, Facebook, Google, you know, or any kind of place that you put your information that's been hacked before, because you can go on ivegotpwn.com and see if you how many places have your password and your credit card information. Like, how many places have been hacked that maybe you have been in the hack. And everybody, it's unavoidable. So, like, data, it feels like such a small, like, they don't, these people clearly don't even understand what's actually moving people. Because if you think that the privacy is going to get rid, the lack of privacy on the app is going to make people get rid of the app, like, you're talking to people, particularly young people who've grown up in literally surveillance states where all of their neighbors have cameras on their doorbell and around their house, and you can't really do anything without being on camera. You can't run a red light. You can't go walk through an intersection. You can't walk past a store without being on camera. Like, knowing that you're on camera, somebody's got their phone out at all times. Like, we don't live in, like, a place where privacy is an expectation. So it is kind of a real weird way to go about trying to get people to get off the app. Anyways, that's all I got to say. When we get back, when we get back, I have some funny stories for you. You know, also one story that I feel like comes up all the time that really pisses me off, and I think that you might want to know just kind of like exactly what that is when we get back.
Hey. just some Funyun run that got him on that cut the lock. It's inside the box, it's just another box. Inside the box, it's just another box. You should probably get accustomed to the culture shock. Plots to jump behind some bushes when they call the flock. Inside of the box, it's just another box. Inside of the box, it's just another box. You should probably get some wind up in your mutton chops. Note the general tone is get the dough and fuck the ops. Pandora has a Pandora, shorter, sorta like a daughter. In the core of her, there is more of her. Each subsequent layer has an inner and an orbiter. Corridor after corridor, a never-ending meta-narrative that forever cabbages. Inside of your word salad sandwiches, a form of moral beef. I don't call them teeth, I call them oral coral reefs. Let them sink, you're still in sync. The more you pry, you find another five. High in the side like a denied ride across the border. Multiplies your strictest card as outrunning your inner hoarder. The more you excavate it, the more it just absorber. Can't all enforce a Mario Kart into a Forza. Obscure your speed limit and then record your Porsche. Report to court more than Zsa Zsa Gabor, divorce lawyer. According to my foyer, spitfire sword drank in the speakeasy, wrote peace treaties and war pain, huh? Inside of the box is just another shoe. Inside of the sock is just another tube. You can put it on if your foot is long. If you find the lost legs of my journeys, tell them I'm looking for them, huh? Inside of the box is just another box. Inside of the box is just another box. The general tone is what it is what it's not. Don't be a fool, your luck is shot. I rigged the wheels, go gut the slots.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. I'm your host. Hey, so there was, this is something that I find totally this is something very within my expectations, and you may be yours, but maybe not. I'm guessing that it's not, but it is in within mine. I'll tell you a story why about it. So a man allegedly used AirTag to find and kill the person who stole his truck. You could probably guess the state. Somebody stole this man's truck, and basically the man was able to track down the thief to a shopping center 20 miles away from where the truck was stolen, and then confronted the suspect who stole the vehicle, and then they shot him. Then they shot the person who stole the truck. Now, if you're going to steal trucks in Texas, you probably should expect that the person might shoot you. Like, I feel like that should be a reasonable expectation and something that you should not only expect, but, like, you know, probably coming soon. Like, I can't imagine you there for long. But the police say that obviously you shouldn't be going down and, you know, handling your own justice and getting, you know, go handling your business. But I've been in a similar situation. So nobody stole my truck, but somebody stole my phone for one time, and I called the police, right? So, like, the police are absolutely useless, which is why people have to do stuff like this. I called the police, and not only did I call the police, I tracked my phone down to exactly where it was at using Find My iPhone, and I called the police. When I got there, I said, hey, my phone is in this house. Can you go knock on the door? It's like 8 a.m. I'm like, can you go knock on the door and just say, hey, I know you have the phone. Just give it back. The police officer was like, I can't do that. And I was like, I know that you can. Because they harass me. I've been harassed by the police on multiple occasions, like where they were just like, hey, you look like you did something. And I'm like, I've tracked the phone down. Can you just open it up, open the door? Like, and if they say no, then that's fine and you can leave. But, like, I just want you to go do it. Police officer refused. You know, he was just like, no, I just can't do that. And so I said, okay, well, I was going to wait until he left and then go knock on the door myself. The police officer got back in the car and waited and said, hey, came back to the car and was like, hey, are you going to leave? And I said, no. When you leave, I'm going to go knock on the door. And then he said, you can't do that. And I was like, okay. So then the police officer left. And then I went and, you know, do the find your iPhone. And I actually heard it in the car that was parked behind the house. And so I went and I got like a wire hanger, and I opened the car door and stole my phone back out of the glove box. And I felt really good about myself. I felt good that I was able to feel like, you know, I did something for myself. And two, you find out that the police officers are useless. So I can only imagine when you get your truck stolen and you know exactly where your truck is at, and you tell the police, hey, my truck is here, can you go get my truck back? And I can only imagine the police are probably like, no, I'm too busy and too busy doing shit. And, you know, he went and it escalated and he shot him. And I don't know what these two people look like, but I can only imagine how mad you would be when you find, like, also, if you know that you're the type of person to go shoot somebody when you get your truck back, maybe you shouldn't go do it. Like, maybe you shouldn't go, and you should just call the police and just wait, especially because you're like, I can get, you know, insurance, get the money back, you get the truck back. I do know how wanting to go get your stuff back, but also, if you know you're the type to shoot somebody, maybe you just let them have it. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. So, this one thing. So, over the weekend, a comedian hosted SNL, and it's been like this long, I don't say long, but it's been like this recent long history of this joke, I mean, and of the truth, which is the truth, is that like Friends, the TV show, didn't have any black people on it. And so this comedian on SNL was joking about that over the weekend and brought it up in their monologue. And I thought it was interesting, especially because of the way that people have piled on. I find that, like, there's just kind of in the past year or so, I feel like we've gone backwards into, I feel like there was a time where we were having just very elevated conversations about race and racial theory and, you know, understanding nuances and people listening and really kind of just kind of understanding it just a little bit more. And I feel like we have now moved into like this era where people are just not being serious, you know? And I feel like you see that with the Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark talk around the, like, we've been talking, they had their championship game on Sunday and it's Tuesday and people still talking about the taunting and what does it mean and what does it mean for, you know, and it's kind of just kind of crazy. But also, we've been talking about Friends for so long. And, like, have you ever met white people? You know, just, it's kind of, for me, like, I understand people are like, oh, you know, black people, you know, there's no friends with black people. No black people on Friends. And I'm like, well, if you like, know groups of white people, there wouldn't have been any black people in Friends. Like, if you, like, look at their jobs, they're not, you know. And then also, if there had been a black person on there, that person would be problematic in itself. Like, their character would have had to be problematic. It would have been hard. Anyways, it's just one of those things where I feel like we've gone so backwards, where we're talking about, like, asking for, you know, talking about representation and things that are not. Like, that's what we got from the 90s. Like, for me, I think about the 90s, like, I feel like we got very good representation in terms of shows. You know, there was a lot of shows on there that I felt represented in the 90s in a real way. But when we started to get into, like, this fictitious, you know, you start getting to a Disney movie area, which I call, like, the Golden Retriever era of TV, and we started lying to each other and lying to ourselves about what, like, the diversity looked like in some of these places, particularly in the suburbs. And, you know, you get these, it's just like, no, things actually don't really look like that. And so it used to piss me off. And so I feel like that's how it is around acting, this idea, you know, questioning why there's no black friends. I'm like, the show wasn't funny. There's so many things to complain about. Like, why would I want somebody on that show just to, like, it wasn't funny. It wasn't a funny show. I don't want my people involved in that, in mediocrity, you know? That doesn't sound like that doesn't sound like the type of diversity I'm interested in. Anyways, I feel like time is going by so quickly. This is something that, there's two things that, okay, we're going to talk about two stories that I feel like there's no real story that really surprises me anymore, but maybe that's just because I don't feel like I can be surprised, you know, which is not a good feeling. But anyways, this is something that I've always hoped would happen because I'm a hater. So just remember that when we're talking about this. A YouTuber says he was shot by a man. He was pranking. The guy didn't take it well. So there's a YouTuber. His name is Tanner Cook, and he released videos on a thing called Classified Goons. And so he says he was playing a practical joke, a simple prank, and the guy didn't take it very well and shot me. Now, have you ever seen some of these pranks? The crazy part is Alan Coley, let's see what he looks like. He's being hit with felony charges and connected with the shooting. Now, like, I don't think that you should be able to have your you should be, I don't think you should press charge for that. You just mind your own damn business. Let's read about what the prank was. Okay, so there's one person shot in the abdomen. Yeah, they charged him with malicious wounding, use of a firearm, and commission of a felony, discharging a firearm up within the building. I don't know. I'm just trying to think, like, what was the prank? Anyways, this guy says he's going to continue to prank people. It seems like a bad idea, but also we live in such a dystopian world that, like, now he's going to become famous and rich, which is crazy because he's going to become famous from, he'll be more famous from getting shot than he will be. He's like the 50 Cent of YouTubers. Now, I'm going to watch the Classified Goons. We're going to watch it together. So what did they do? What did they do? Fake Target thug employee prank. Oh, see, this guy deserved to be shot. Fake vomiting on Uber driver. Listen, fake vomiting on Uber driver. These are some of the titles. Asking strangers to play Naked Twister. Stealing beds from mattress stores. Deliberately filming people in people's faces. Accusing people of stealing pets from PetSmart. This person is a nuisance. Like, get a job. Telling people they look like sex offenders. Asking people if they're here for a threesome. Fake mall security prank. Like, these people, I don't feel bad that he got shot. I don't know. You know, call me a hater. But Alan Coley, you're doing the work. Because I feel like pranksters, people who prank on YouTube, they should walk around with a little bit of fear. Like, I feel like you got to let this man go because he wasn't just going to shoot anybody. He just shot the prankster. And I feel like people who do pranks like that, they should, especially in public, they should have to think twice. And one of those thoughts should be, is this worth getting shot over? That's a serious question. I mean, a serious statement. I feel like when you do a prank, like if you prank me, I'm not going to shoot you because I don't have a gun, you know, but if you prank me, I want you to think, wow, if I got shot, would this be worth it? I just want you to think about that. Just a part. Like, I feel like people should, we should be aspiring to do different things. And by aspiring to do different things, this guy should be aspiring to do something else. Well, he should have aspired to do something else. Eric Ramirez from Laredo, Texas, was kidnapped by the cartel after bragging that he stole $50,000 from them. Now, the crazy part about bragging about stealing $50,000 from the cartel is that even if you didn't steal $50,000 from the cartel, I feel like bragging and lying about stealing $50,000 from the cartel sounds dumb as well. Like, even, you know, and so, like, whether he actually stole it or whether he didn't steal it, I feel like that's dumb. That's dumb. These, it's like, those people have a reputation to protect. They just can't be allowed to let people live, walk around, say they stole $50,000 from them. That's not how they move. And that's scary. But also, they stormed into his house, and then they took him across the border. He tried to escape but was unsuccessful, and then they say he's missing. You know what? He's not missing. That guy's dead. I can already tell you that he's dead. Simple as that. Don't steal from a cartel. It also feels just like a bad way to go. You know, feels like a bad way to go. We got one last story to piss you off. You know, for at least piss myself off. So for Vancouver Art Gallery is to axe the buy donation option this month. So on Tuesday, people are able to go into the Vancouver Art Gallery by donation, and they're axing that. And so what they're doing instead is they're implementing a subscription pass to the art gallery. The art gallery will be closed to the public on Tuesdays, and will be open on it will be open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily, except on Thursday and Fridays, when the gallery will be open from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Now, what is crazy, what I think is crazy, is that I think that they're doing it wrong. The art gallery to go to is so expensive. It's like $30 to go to the art gallery. That's insane. I don't understand why the art gallery doesn't cost more than $20. Like, why art gallery costs more than $20. Like, I feel like if you want to encourage people to, you know, to go to the arts and enjoy the arts and be able to spend time in them, one, I think the museum should be free. But if they're not going to be free, then they shouldn't cost $60 for two people to go, two adults to go. You know, there's only so many places that adults can actually hang out in Vancouver, and one of those places is the art gallery. And if it costs you $60 to go, who can afford to do that? Plus, you got to get food, and you know, it's like a nice, it's like a nice place to go, but I feel like, and also you would just increase the demand, you know, the volume of people if they drop the price. Anyways, who the hell, the city never does anything that they should do, so, or the art gallery is not thinking about the poor people, not thinking about the middle class people, so I guess they don't care. Anyways. It's my 2 cents. I'm out. We do this every Tuesday, 8 to 10. Crimes and Treasons, 10 to 11. All the Being Path. I'm out.